wake up, put your shoes on, take a breath of the northern air, and rub those eyes.
Last week on Jeff Diamond's Vikings and NFL Insider, we talked about the offense, the kicker, and some news around the NFL. This week, it is time to talk about the defense. Will Mike Zimmer's defense bounce back this year? There are a lot of signs that it will, but there are still some question marks. We'll get into that here with Jeff Diamond, former Vikings general manager, former NFL executive of the year. This is part of the TalkNorth.com podcast network. You can go to TalkNorth.com, see all of our shows. You can follow us on Twitter at TalkNorthPod to see all the shows as they are released, or you can subscribe to your favorite podcast app. That is the easiest way to listen, and it is free. Thanks to White Bear Lake Superstore and our longtime producer, Brandon Morton. All right, Jeff, let's start with the defensive line. Last year, a team that builds its defense around its defensive line, around defensive line talent, around pass rushing, around defensive line depth, around, just being able to use these players as chess pieces, could not get a rush on the passer without Danielle Hunter, without their other injuries, and with getting rid of Ngakoue. And it showed. Their secondary could not keep up under those circumstances. It probably ruined their season. Will they be better this year?
Yeah, I think that's certainly a key factor, as you talked about last year, and I think that the Vikings have made a really strong effort to improve this defensive line and the defense as a whole. And as a former GM and former president looking at this football team, this to me is a huge, huge improvement as far as you talk about what's the biggest improvement of the Vikings this year. Potentially, we talked last week about the offensive line with the young guys and Darisaw and Davis, if they come on. I think defensively, it's this defensive line that I think has the chance to be the biggest step forward compared to last year. And you start with Danielle Hunter, obviously, and his return is huge, and coming in with the right attitude, getting his contract straightened out at least for this year. It's going to be a question next year when he's got that $18 million roster bonus early on. But if he's healthy and he's productive as he's been in the past, then he makes all the difference in that defensive line because he gets more attention. He makes everybody better. And if he's that 15 sack guy that they hope he will be and expect him to be, then it's a whole different world on that defensive line. And with the defense as a whole, when coming off 23 sacks last year, which is one of the worst numbers in the league compared to 40 plus in the playoff year of 2019 when Hunter had 14 and a half. So I think Hunter's return is huge, but still a question mark. Is he healthy? How are they going to kind of phase him in during training camp and preseason? He's another guy. I wouldn't waste a lot of time in preseason games with him because I think that, and I'm sure they're going to try to bring him along rather slowly, make sure he's 100%. And then turn him loose week one against Cincinnati. And so, but I love the defensive tackle trio of Dalvin Tomlinson, the big free agent signing, Michael Pierce coming off the opt-out year, and he was the big free agent signing the year before, and Sheldon Richardson's return, I think, is big on a one-year prove-it deal for a 30-year-old guy, and he had a really good year his last year here in 2018, and I think he can be a guy that can really help in the rotation there. So I love that defensive tackle trio. You compare that to Jaleel Johnson and Shamar Stephan inside last year, and it's night and day. I think these guys are proven. I think they're big-time players, and that's really going to help the cause. I think the return of Stephen Weatherly as a likely starter at right defensive end also is big, and I think that he has a lot of versatility. He can also rotate inside as an inside pass rusher on obvious passing situations. I think second-year guy DJ Wanham, I think he and Weatherly will be a really good duo at that right defensive end. And as I said, Weatherly can move inside, and Wanham probably can too. And Wanham did some good things last year, such as the strip sack of Aaron Rodgers to help win the Packer game in Green Bay. So I think the Vikings have some good stuff on that defensive line. I think the question is, can the two rookies that are talented guys, third-round pick Patrick Jones, fourth-round pick Janarius Robinson, can they make an impact in the rotation? When you think, Jim, about teams such as the New York Giants when they won the Super Bowl, And they were just sending pass rushers in waves against Tom Brady and the Patriots in that Super Bowl. And I think of those kind of teams with Michael Strahan and his crew in New York and JPP, Jason Pierre-Paul, those kind of teams. I think that's what NFL teams want to model after in the defensive line and get that rotation. And I think the Vikings have potential there to have that kind of rotation. So the defensive line, to me, definite strength if Hunter is the old Hunter. And I think it's a huge improvement over last year.
You know, I think back about the times I've covered the Super Bowl or even just analyzed it from home, and way too often I put too much emphasis on the quarterback and not enough emphasis on the defensive line. Defensive lines win championships. You know, that Denver team with Peyton Manning at quarterback, Peyton Manning did not play well that season. He did not play particularly well in the Super Bowl. He wasn't that productive. They won that game because of Von Miller getting all over Cam Newton. So the defensive line just cannot be underappreciated.
Yeah, and just look at Tampa Bay last year and their playoff run and their Super Bowl run, and they were harassing Patrick Mahomes the whole game. Now, Kansas City's offensive line was beat up and injured and missing their starting tackles, but Tampa Bay's defensive ends and defensive front dominated that game, and a big part of the reason Tampa Bay won the Super Bowl. So I think you're absolutely right that the defensive line is a huge factor in modern day NFL football to be able to pressure the passer and not let these guys sit back there and pick teams apart in the secondary. So that, I think, is going to be a big improvement for the Vikings this year. Again, the question mark, can Hunter be the old Hunter? The linebackers, I think that the strength is there if Eric Kendricks and Anthony Barr stay healthy. Kendricks, I think, is one of the best inside linebackers in the league. He's proven that. I think Barr is still a guy that I expect to make more big plays. You and I talk about him often. I think he needs to make more sacks, more forced fumbles, more interceptions. He's got all the athletic ability. But again, he's a guy that has to stay healthy. He's coming off an injured year with that pec injury. And so can he step up? He's healthy now, look good in minicamp. But again, he took a pay reduction in this year, so he's in a contract year. They also, his contract's going to void. So I think it's a big year for Anthony Barr to prove that he is worthy of a $10 million a year plus deal in the NFL. And so he's got to step up his game. But if those guys are right, they're really great players. The third linebacker to replace a very productive Eric Wilson, there's going to be really good competition between last year's fourth rounder, Troy Dye, a free agent signee, and Nick Vigil. And then the third round pick this year, Chaz Surratt out of North Carolina. He's a guy that's really, I think, interesting. He can really run, but he needs to bulk up. He's a 229-pound player right now, 229 pounds. And so he needs to bulk up his game. But I think all three of those guys will make it, will help special teams. And then you got a couple guys who played a fair amount at the end of last year, Blake Lynch and Ryan Connolly, who got some experience and will be in the competition. They weren't real impressive last year when they had to play, but maybe they'll be better this year. So I think the linebackers are a better group than they were last year, especially at the end when Kendricks and Barr were out. But again, the health of those two guys is critical. And how does this third starter emerge? And is he a guy that can be as good a player as Eric Wilson? I don't think so in year one, but maybe down the road, perhaps, for either Dye or Surratt. So we'll see how that shakes out.
Let's take this opportunity to thank White Bear Lake Superstore, whitebearlakesuperstore.com.
Yeah, Jim, always happy to talk about the White Bear Lake Superstore at Buick GMC. And my longtime friend, the owner, Paul Rubin, his general manager, Charlie Gattrell, their great staff, Minnesota's number one volume Buick GMC dealer, 6 years running, with the best selection and with their super friendly premium team. They've got a fantastic website, whitebearlakesuperstore.com. Check it out and you'll see 2021 Buick SUV models with 0% APR for 72 months, plus current Buick or GMC owners or lessees receive an additional $500 purchase allowance on most models. There's a great deal, $3,000 purchase allowance on 2021 GMC Era 1500 Crew Cab models, plus $250 purchase allowance for current Buick and GMC owners and lessees, and $500 bonus cash. And so check out their website, WiperLakeSuperstore.com. And the Wiper Lake Superstore is the Quigley 4x4 Van Superstore. And they are a certified elite dealer. Only 7% of GM dealers make the cut. So visit in person at 3900 Highway 61 North in Wiper Lake or online at WiperLakeSuperstore.com for all your vehicle needs and the premium experience. Buick GMC, we are professional grade. Shop pre-owned specials on one lot, thousands in savings. The Wiper Lake Superstore.
Onward to the secondary, the punter, and some views on the NFC race. Let's start with the secondary, which a lot of moving parts there right now.
Yeah, and that's my biggest concern about the defense and perhaps about the football team as a whole, along with the development on the offensive line. I think these are the two biggest questions for this football team and the kicker we talked about last week. So I think the safeties are fine. I think Harrison Smith's still one of the best in the business. I think ex-Cowboy Xavier Woods, he may not be the Anthony Harris of 2019, but he might be as good as the Anthony Harris of 2020, who was not as good as the one of 19. And so Xavier Woods has a lot of experience in the secondary. He looked good in OTAs and mini camps. Looks like he's developing a good chemistry with Harrison Smith. I think really interesting fourth round pick in Cameron Bynum out of Cal. He's a really talented guy and big and strong and can run. And they're going to move him from corner, play corner at Cal. He's going to move to safety. Now that's a transition to do that. And so they need Smith and Woods to stay healthy so that they don't have to play Bynum early on, that he can develop and maybe perhaps be a future starter down the road. And meanwhile, be a big help on special teams, which he should be. The cornerbacks, my biggest concern on defense overall, along with, as we mentioned before, Danielle Hunter staying healthy and being healthy. I think that certainly there's talent there, but there's been inconsistency. Patrick Peterson, we'll start with him, ex-Pro Bowler. Can he have a career resurgence here with the Vikings, with Zimmer, with that defensive group? Or will he continue kind of his downward trend of the last year or so in Arizona, where teams were kind of picking on him? So he's a question mark, but he's going to be a day one starter when he's making $8 million, with the possibility of getting to 10 with some incentives. Bashad Breeland, I think a really interesting guy with Super Bowl experience in Kansas City at the corner position. I like the signing of him, and he's had some really good play in the past. He's had some shaky play in the past for Kansas City. And so he's a guy that I expect to probably be a day one starter unless Cam Dantzler just has a great, great training camp and beats him out. Mackenzie Alexander, I think, was a really excellent signing as a good slot corner. He played very well here his last year with the Vikings before he signed in Kansas City or in Cincinnati as a free agent, and had a pretty good year with the Bengals too. But Mackenzie, I think, was one of those guys that had an opportunity to come back here, kind of figured things were better on his return than he perhaps may have thought. And I think you've mentioned in the past that you thought he wanted out of here when he left, but
he did.
I think he's happy to be back now. And so I think he's a good signing. Cam Dantzler, I love his potential. I think he's got great length. He's got really good athletic ability. I think he needs to get stronger so he can fight off some of these little nicks that he's had in the past, injuries that knocked him out of several games and in the middle of games, which is hard when you lose a guy that you're dressing and expecting to play, and then he comes out in the second quarter or something that happened a couple times last year. I think he will benefit from a full off season and from a full training camp and some preseason games. But he made some really good plays last year. He had some inconsistent moments. And probably the biggest question mark, of course, is the number one pick from last year, Jeff Gladney. What is his situation? Been very quiet. I know he has a court case on the domestic violence hearing and the allegation, and missed the entire offseason. Is he out of the mix or not? What's going on with Jeff Gladney? And I think that it seems like they're almost trying to plan for him not to be there. And which to me, with a guy with domestic violence, may not be a bad thing to get him out of here if that's the situation. But if he can overcome it, if the charges aren't filed, we'll see how this plays out. It's just been very quiet. But he is a former number one pick. You don't want to give up on number one picks unless it's just a disaster. And maybe he is in that situation. One of the big surprises I thought in the offseason in OTAs and minicamp, Harrison Hand, fifth round pick in 2020, had a very good offseason. He was lining up a lot as a starter opposite Patrick Peterson. And he also, I think, gives him a lot of depth potentially at the corner spot. So I think he's a really good player for them to keep developing. Chris Boyd has really good potential. He needs to be a little more consistent, and he's been a good special team guy from time to time. Has maybe had a few too many penalties. So as he develops his game and kind of matures, I think Chris Boyd is a guy for the future. So this secondary, wow, it's just really hard to predict what's going to happen and how are Peterson and Breland and Dantzler and Gladney, is he in there or not? And Harrison Hand, does he develop, continue to develop? I think the group as a whole, much better than last year when they were relying on all these rookies with no offseason program. But again, there are question marks with this group and how they develop. So how do you see that secondary?
I think you got it right. There are a lot of interesting pieces. You have to like Peterson. You have to like Breland. You have to like Mackenzie Alexander. But, you know, part of what we're looking at here is, okay, what, you know, is Breland healthy? And, you know, anytime you're getting a player that another team no longer wanted, you just always have to ask why. And sometimes it's money, but most NFL teams keep the players they want. Peterson, does he have anything left? Can you get anything out of Gladney? Shouldn't you even try to get anything out of Gladney? Is Dantzler ready to be a prime starter? You know, is Boyd going to develop? And really, on top of all these questions, probably the most important thing is, are they going to get enough of a pass rush and a consistent enough pass rush that these guys aren't going to be just, you know, torched the way they were last year?
Yeah, and I think you hit right the key there, because a great pass rush makes an average secondary look great. And so if Hunter and company are wrecking havoc on the quarterbacks, then that's going to get balls tipped, balls in the air that Harrison Smith can pick off, that the corners can pick off. Patrick Peterson has been a ball hawk in his career. And if he doesn't have to cover for 5 seconds, if the pass rush can get there, then he can maybe be a much better player like he was earlier in his career. So I think you're right. The pass rush is a key, but these secondary guys, can they make the plays when they have the opportunities? Can they develop the chemistry when it's essentially a lot of new guys? And so there's a lot of work to do for the coaching staff with the secondary group to get them ready to go. But I think overall, when you look at the defense, it's, to me, infinitely better talent-wise than it was last year, but there are still question marks, and we'll have to see how it plays out. But I do believe that the Vikings as a whole, offense, defense, special teams, I think there are a lot of good young players that could be really good special team cover guys. I think there's a lot of good pieces of this football team. I think they have the talent to return to the playoffs. I think they have the talent. When you look at the schedule, it's a really difficult schedule, Jim, and we've talked about this before. And there's some tough stretches. They start with a couple on the road, and they got a couple really important three-game homestand with Seattle, Cleveland, Detroit. I think if they can come out and they go to Carolina, if they can come out of the first six, something like 4-2, and then hit that really, really tough stretch of starting after the bye week, Dallas, at Baltimore, at the Chargers, Green Bay here, at San Francisco. That's a brutal five-game schedule, because I think the 49ers will be much better this year. I think that the Cowboys will be better with Prescott back. And then the final four games are crucial, and three of those games are against Chicago and Green Bay, with the fourth one a home game against the Rams and Aaron Donald and Matthew Stafford. That's a really tough four-game stretch to finish the season. So that's going to be a real challenge too, as you try to figure out the schedule. But I think that the potential is there for this team to be something like 11-6, 10-7, and make the playoffs. I think 11-6 might even win the division this year if Green Bay has question marks. Certainly with the situation with Rodgers and what's his mindset, although I think he's enough of a pro. If he's there, he's going to play. The other thing, just to bounce back a little bit to the Vikings, the only thing we didn't mention was the punter. Britton Cole quit. I think he's consistent. I think he's a good holder. I think he'll do a good job, and he'll be back this year. And really, the special teams as a whole, the question mark, the new coach, right, Ryan Thicken, can he get this team solidified special teams-wise? There are a lot of good athletes, a lot of good pieces to do that.
Last topic for this week, how do you see the NFC? Because I was talking with the some sports executives the other night. We're all sitting around saying, okay, the Tampa Bay Bucs will probably be a better team this year than they were last year, probably be more cohesive. You know what, though? Teams just don't repeat. I mean, the Chiefs, you know, with Patrick Mahomes didn't repeat. So do you think the Bucs have a chance to repeat? And who do you like in the NFC?
Yeah, certainly you have to say the Tampa Bay Bucs did a fantastic job in terms of keeping this roster together. All their key guys are back, starting with Brady, of course, and the defensive guys on the defensive line. And so, yeah, you say Tampa Bay has to be considered the favorite as the defending Super Bowl champs, but they're going to be challenged by a lot of teams in the NFC this year. And I think that when you look at the NFC East, for example, I think Dallas will bounce back with Dak Prescott returning this year. I think that the New York Giants are a team that I think is on the come. I think they've really augmented their roster. But, of course, the question mark will be Daniel Jones and his development. And can Saquon Barkley stay healthy and running back? Washington has a lot of talent, but questions at quarterback. So I think Dallas is probably the team that comes out of the East. I think that you look at the NFC West is a loaded division. And San Francisco, the Rams, Seattle, Arizona should be an excellent race. And the 49ers, I think, will be a bounce back team this year. When you get Nick Bosa back, you get some of those guys. They have terrible injury problems last year. And then how does it shake out with the quarterback situation? I think that the South, as we mentioned, the Bucs are the favorite. And how do the Saints play post Drew Brees? Does Jameis Winston win the job over Taysom Hill? Does he hang on? What's going on in Atlanta with no Julio Jones traded to Tennessee? And so I think that there are certainly a lot of questions around the NFC, but the favorite has to be Tampa Bay. I think there are going to be a lot of competition with a lot of good teams in the NFC. If the Vikings can make the playoffs, which I expect them to do, they can be in the mix to make a run, because I think this roster is that much better. And then it's going to come down to some tough playoff opponents. And can they make the plays? Can Cousins produce in crunch time as he did against the Saints in the playoffs in 2019? So I think there's a lot of excitement around the league as you go into the 2021 season. And in this NFC race, there's a lot of quality teams.
Yep, it's going to be fascinating. It's always fascinating. The Vikings finished 7-9 last year. Every other year, they seem to have a good team. I would think that would hold true this year, but you never know. We'll keep bringing you updates and insights from Jeff, former, again, NFL Executive of the Year, former Vikings General Manager. Thank you to White Bear Lake Superstore. Thank you to Brandon Morton. Thanks for listening to TalkNorth.com.